There is an agenda sometimes that the media pushes that isn't a fair narrative. Everything in life is a form of expression. I woke up the next day with 72,000 followers. Before you expect from someone, expect from yourself. So again, instead of me going, oh, what's my partner going to do for me? My concern is, what can I do for my partner? When you're in a relationship, your partner is your everything. It's no longer a me and you, it's an us. No one's coming to save you. Don't you think it's time you save yourself?
What's up, guys, and welcome back to First Things First. Very happy to announce we have Hannah on the show today.
Hello.
This is long overdue, to be honest.
I guess it is.
We've known each other for a while, but you haven't really done the rounds of podcasting until very recently, have you?
No, I only recently started to decide I wanted to talk to people.
Yeah. You're good, though. You're doing a good job, because I think you are a very good role model for the women out there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're originally from the UK, Saudi. What's the... the mix?
So my dad is from Saudi, mm-hmm. and my mum is from the UK, and I'm kind of a mix of both. Well, I'm definitely a mix of both, but I'm just deciding, like, you know, through different phases of my life, I lean more towards one side than the other, and I've lived between both now. So I'm like, I'm finally formulating the base of who I really think I am and what I'm pulling from what side. Mm. So yeah, so I'm a mix of both.
Where did you spend your childhood? Were you in Saudi or within London?
I was born in the UK, mm-hmm. stayed in the UK till I was 10 years old. 10 to 21, I went to Saudi with my father when my parents got divorced. 21, I left Saudi, went back to the UK. So I had a culture shock at 10 and I had a culture shock at 21. Mm. Went back to the UK when I was 21. And then in my 30s, I just decided to, like, flutter about the world.
What was living in Saudi like?
Huh. So when I moved there, it was, oh, wow, I don't even remember. Probably like just before 1999, just before 2000. It was a lot different to what it is now. But I would say in general, there is a misconceived notion about Saudi Arabia. Mm. I don't want to get to like the Matrix, but I do believe there is an agenda sometimes that the media pushes that isn't a fair narrative or a correct representation of Saudi Arabia. You know, it's, I don't want to say similar to Dubai because each one has its own character, but like in terms of like landscapes and you know, road structure and space, we have a lot of space. We tend to build out, then build up. It's very hot and warm country. We've got the Red Sea. We've got like nice food. We've got great traditions. We've got extremely friendly people. And I think that's the number one thing. When people come to Saudi Arabia, they're so shocked by how friendly and generous people are because it's not what they thought they would be.
Yeah, I think a lot of people seem to think that it's just a terrible place for women to live.
It could not be further from the truth. I mean, things have changed a lot over the recent years. But if we look at the current situation now in Saudi Arabia, like we were saying off camera, the marriage age in Saudi Arabia is 18 for girls. In a lot of European countries, which are considered Western world, it's 16. Mm-hmm. Saudi Arabia, I can walk down the street at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not getting harassed. You know, if a guy does ever think to harass me or even swear at me, I know he's getting, you know, like a prison sentence or he's getting a punishment. Whereas I go to the UK, I get in the underground, someone barges into me, swears at me, and I'm just like, okay, I'll just take it.
It's definitely a bit of a mess.
Yeah. So it's like, it's growing up and then my appreciation for things changes. So I appreciate safety. I appreciate comfort. I'm forward thinking, like, when I have kids, what do I want them to grow up around? What do I want them to intake? You know, I can only protect them as much as I can. But when they're out in the world, you know, I like, what do I want them to take from the society? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting for me to say, like, what I valued when I was younger is not necessarily the same as what I value now when I'm a bit older. And obviously hindsight is always 20/20.
Mm-hmm. What is the situation with how much skin you can show there and covering up?
I would say Saudi is a place where we acknowledge that we don't live in the country by ourselves. And it's more about being respectful to other people. Mm-hmm. I could go out wearing what I'm wearing now. So like not something too figure hugging, but also it's like, it's comfortable. It's respectful to other people. We live in a country with, you know, people who are practicing Islam. It is a Muslim country. And I don't see the need for every country to be the same as every other country. It's like, if you're going somewhere, kind of like respect the traditions. So I say, as long as it's respectful to other people, you're fine. Some people choose to cover their face. Some people choose not to. Some people choose to wear a headscarf. Some choose not to. Mm-hmm. I personally, throughout my life, even growing up when I was with my dad, he never asked me to put a headscarf on. So, yeah.
What did you study when you did you go to?
Yeah, I studied sound engineering. Mm-hmm. I got my master's in that in London. And it was because my dad was in music and he had his own studio and I grew up in a studio. I was like, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Did you ever use it? Like, what happened after university?
I did not use it as much as I wanted to. I think at the time in my life, it just wasn't the right industry for me to be in. It just wasn't, you know, I was a young girl, I was 21. You know, the music industry can be quite scary as is. And I think at that time, I didn't have the right opportunity, or I would say maybe like environmental surroundings or backings from the people around me at the time. So I didn't go into music as much as I liked, but I am kind of making like a full circle now. I've got like a studio and I'm building. So I'm kind of circling back around to it now.
I feel like if I had lived another life, I would have got into music.
Would you have been a singer?
Not singing, no, just producing. Because I love the way that music makes me feel. Yes. Like the majority of the time I'm listening to music.
Yeah.
So I would imagine the feeling of creating some sort of a beat, especially if it becomes really popular and you get some big artists rapping or performing on your beat, that would be pretty damn cool.
I think it's a form of expression. Mm-hmm. I take everything in life as a form of expression. Mm-hmm. Cooking, how you dress, how you represent yourself, how you train, what you commit. Like, it's all a form of expression.
And creating as well. I like the idea of just creating something from nothing.
Yes. Yes.
So you didn't go down that route of getting into the music side of things. So what did you do next?
I started an Instagram account. I was quite late to the game. When did I start my Instagram? I think it must have been, I think I was like 25, 26. Well, no, 27 maybe, even a bit later.
I think for me, it was 2012, 2013.
Something like that. But I remember people saying to me like, oh, you're on Instagram, do you have Snapchat? And I'd be like, no, because I'm not 12 years old. Mm-hmm. Look at me now.
Top input.
Yeah, I know. So I started my Instagram and I used to post projects and lyrics from stuff that I was doing at university. And then just after trying to get into the music world, thinking that I'd be like the next Justin Bieber that's like been spotted on social media and blah, blah, blah. I posted a workout video and just a fluke one, not edited, nothing, just a random workout video of like, eh, I'm just going to post this. I woke up the next day with 72,000 followers.
No way.
And I was like, Yeah. I was like, what is going on? At this point, I had 17% women following me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, you know.
Wait, this is after the video.
Yeah. So after the video, it was like 17% women. Okay. And I was like, okay, Now I'm 74% women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very good. Yeah. And I think that's because of the type of content which you're putting out there.
I hope so.
Yeah. It's I mean, even from, I've been following you for a while now and there's no thirst traps, no bikini pictures, nothing like that.
No.
Which is respectable.
Thank you.
It's good.
Thank you. I try to provide information and education. I don't think attention lasts and respectfully, I don't need attention from people that I don't know. The attention that I need is from the immediate people around me and the people that I choose to love and that love me. I don't feel the need to have any validation from the outside world, which is quite ironic given that my business is social media and it all depends on image. Mm-hmm. But I made a decision from early on. It's like the compliments aren't going to get to me, so the cusses don't get to me as well. Mm-hmm. Because if I let one in, I have to let the other in. I can't just turn the blind eye in. But I'm like, if they don't know me personally, I won't take it personally. You could be someone who skins cats alive behind the keyboard or behind your phone writing a message to me that's horrible. And I'm going to be like, oh my God, like this person thinks this. Meanwhile, they're a terrible person. So unless I know you personally, I'm not taking your opinion personally.
And you know what? It's quite interesting what you mentioned before about having 3/4 of your audience being female. That is a lot better for business, no doubt, and working with brands.
business and brands, I love collaborating with companies that I believe in.
Mm.
That I work, like, I work with companies that I genuinely love, like, or that I genuinely use. But my idea has always been, I'm very indirectly in customer service. I'm serving people or trying to give them something. So my idea is always, what can I give people before what I can take from them?
Mm-hmm.
So if I give them X, Y, Z, when the time comes where I do say to them, hey guys, I've done a product, like, or hey guys, can you support me on this? I feel like I would have built up enough good credit with people for, and
they respect you, and yeah, they know that you're not just going to peddle them some trash.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you need the authenticity for people to know, like, okay, I'm not just putting my name to anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not using you guys to make bank. I'm genuinely here to help. You know, if I've stopped one girl from going getting a BBL, I've done a good job. Like, mm-hmm. If I've given one girl the confidence to walk into a room and feel like, oh wow, you know, if I've given one girl, you know, if I've taught one girl to be committed and dedicated and, like, trust the game and just, like, trust the process, and she's transferred that skill over to something else in her life, I've won.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I get out of it for me.
You think a lot of people are looking up to you for the fitness inspiration?
I don't know.
Or is it a little bit of everything?
See, like, when you introduce and you say, like, I'm a good role model, it's really like, I've never thought of myself like that. I'm just doing what I do
mm-hmm.
on camera.
But I think once you get to the point where you've amassed over a million followers, whether you like it or not, you're a role model for people. People are going to be looking up to you. They're following you for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's in your hands to decide whether you're going to be a good role model or a bad role model.
Yeah.
And I think in today's world, there is just a lot of bad role models that are maybe not teaching the youngsters how they should be living their lives.
Well, I have nieces, and I hope one day that I'm going to have daughters. And I remember the first time my niece ever called me out on something. Like, she called me, she's like, Auntie Hannah, why are you posting a product that has palm oil in it? Don't you know how bad palm oil is for the environment? And I'm like, wow, I'm getting scored from, like, a 13-year-old. Like, what is going on? And I felt ashamed. And I just thought, do you know what? When I get married, first of all, I want my husband's family to be able to look at me and be like, oh, like, you know, this girl is good for my son. Like, I trust that this woman will take care of my son. That's a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I also want my kids to be able to look up to me. And I also want my nieces to be able to look up to me. I want them to know that there is not only one route to success. I feel like, I'm probably going to get cancelled, but
yes.
I feel like, Mike, we had this conversation. I feel like, yeah, okay, let's get into this. I feel like there is an agenda, yeah, and there's this whole thing of, like, emphasizing the fact that a woman can only be successful if she takes off X amount of clothes or shows X amount of skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that couldn't be further from the truth. I want my nieces and my future daughters and any other girl out there looking for a way, like, to hold on to her beliefs or her culture or however different it may be from the social norm now, to feel like, I can still make it. I had somebody in the beginning of my career, a manager, send me the profile of another fitness influencer whose page was full of bikini photos. And again, each their own. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. It's not for me. Again, we both live in the same world. Like, we can accommodate for each other. I'm not here to judge you. That's your path, not mine. But he came to me and he sent me her profile and he's like, well, if you want to succeed, you're going to need to be more like her. And I messaged him back. I was like, no. Like, that was it. I was just like, no.
Mm.
Fast forward a couple of years when I hit a million followers. Hey, Hannah, how are you? Oh, and I messaged him back. I was like, do you remember when you told me I wouldn't succeed because I wouldn't get naked?
Mm.
Or, like, I wouldn't take off X amount of clothes, or I wouldn't do this. I was like, look at me now. I was like, and I'm so glad I didn't compromise my morals. I'm so glad that I feel proud of myself for achieving something against, like, the social norm.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, like, it's really confusing because, like, sometimes when I'm in Saudi, Like, I'm very Saudi when I'm in Saudi. And then sometimes when I'm in England, I'm very English when I'm in England. But people don't realize that I'm a mix of both. And I've been brought up with parents from different religions, different backgrounds, different cultures, different traditions. And I've lived in both countries. So at one point, I didn't feel Arab enough for the Arabs. I didn't feel foreign enough for the foreigners or English enough for the English. Or I was always out of place. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I'm going to ignore everything. And I'm going to do what feels right with me. And if I make a mistake, I'm going to put my hands up to it. And I'm going to apologize to myself first and foremost, and then to anyone it's affected if it has. But I'm also going to do better, because I, at whatever stage I'm in my life, I'm doing the best that I can.
Mm-hmm.
So just having an option there for girls to see, like, you don't have to go down this route. You don't have to do this. You know, there are women that are CEOs, CFOs, COOs. There are women that are doing everything. Don't be put into this box. Don't be categorized as, this is your selling point. This is what you're good for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's canceled. It's tricky, because I know for a lot of women, it's like the shortcut, it's the quick way, because it's just the way social media is. The more skin I show, the more likes I'll get, the more engagement I'll get, the more followers I'll get. And it's just like, okay, they're just feeding off that loop. And even I, like, me being a guy back in the early days of fitness, like, I noticed that was the thing for me. So I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to post more topless photos because it gets more engagement. But then I didn't want to be seen as this guy who's just topless all the time. And you become very one-dimensional if that's all that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a woman and you're just posting skin bikini pics all the time, it's kind of like, is this all you have to offer? Like, is there anything else going on there?
Well, that's the thing. It's also like men that lead with money and go like, why do I only attract gold diggers? I'm like, bro, maybe because you lead with money. You know, it's, you really have to look at what you're projecting into the world. Again, we don't live in this world alone. And there always is how things are and how things look. And I think when you've got something to lose, you have to take both into consideration. And it's like that with everything, but like the end goal, it kind of defeats it. So if your purpose is to get more followers and more engagement and then potentially have a brand or collaborate with brands or push products to them, you know, if you're a woman and your following is 99% men who are just enjoying looking at you, you're not exactly going to be able to sell them products, are you? So it defeats the purpose. So again, I think looking at the long game is more important than looking at the right now. And that's something that fitness has taught me. You know, I love binge eating. I'm an emotional eater. I love food and food loves me. Mm-hmm. So, but I learned, like, you know, if you want that body that you want, the food's going to be there even like in 6 weeks and 8 weeks and whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's just learning to have patience.
And on that topic as well, from my point of view as a man, I think it's actually quite sexy when a woman is covering herself up, because you don't know what's under there. Yeah. Like, it's a mystery.
Yeah.
You know, you have to use your imagination and you become curious. But if it's all like fully out there, then you know exactly what it is.
Well, not only that, I find it as a distraction. So, you know, like, I don't need a guy to tell me that I'm pretty. Like, okay, great, thanks, cool. My looks are going to fade. I need a guy to say to me like how much he likes my personality. I need to make sure that I connect with you on moral compass, on goals, motivation, where you're going, your faith. You know, what are we actually connecting on? Are we connecting on physical? Because if that's all it takes for you to connect to me, you can connect to a million people. Where's the longevity and sustainability in that? What are you really looking for? So again, long game, thinking about the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's the saying? Variety is the spice of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice to just like have a bit of mystery about you as well.
Yeah. But I do understand if a female does have a truly incredible physique, then I don't knock them for showing that off to the world.
No, not at all. Like, I completely get it, because, you know, I wear crop tops and I show my abs. I, you know, which to some people might be like, oh, nothing. But then to other people, it might be really extreme. Again, depends where you're coming from. But I was like, oh my God, I've worked so hard for these abs. I sucked my stomach in until I was 26 years old, people. Like, I was like, you know, like, can I breathe out? Is the camera off? And then I just made a decision. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. And I was really proud of myself. But then I had to say, okay, do I need people to be proud of me as well? Isn't it enough that I'm proud of myself?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the flip side of it. It's like, okay, well, if I'm trying to sell a fitness guide, how do people know that my results work if they can't see the results on myself? But I think it's intention. You know, it's also a lot to do with facial expression. I've seen people, I've seen girls take photos in swimsuits with like a really cute look to them. It's not, you know,
smiling.
Yeah, it's not, you know, that.
Mm.
And then I've seen girls like with a full length dress, but the face look is like, and I'm like, girl, I don't know what you're doing. But yeah, so again, each to their own, but just my personal journey, that's not where it's going.
What do you think is the biggest issue that women face when it comes to social media?
Oh my God, the opinions. They never end. The opinions, you know. Oh, you.
This is from both men and women.
Yeah. I would say more from men. I say more from men. But women have some very strong opinions as well, rightfully so. But it's like, oh, you've put on a bit of weight. Thanks. I didn't know that. I really needed that stranger on the internet to remind me that I've put on weight. Thank you so much. Do you know what's going on in my personal life? No. But, you know, but it's, I put on a bit of weight. It's like, you know, how are you a fitness influencer? You know, you know, you've got a bit of fat on you. Okay, cool. I dropped the weight. Oh, you're so muscly. You're so lean. You look like a man. Okay, I put it back. And I'm like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second. I'm not happy anymore. You know, I'm trying to please everyone. It's like, okay, so where's the line of pleasing and validation?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be open to criticism from other people. But that just kind of like comes with the territory. You just have to take it with a pinch of salt, move on. The block button is your best friend. You know, again, I don't know this person. You know, he could have a keyboard on top of his belly typing to me. I don't know this person, each to their own, but my Instagram and my social media is a community that I've built for me to feel safe and to find like-minded people. And if you're not amongst those people, you really don't need to be on my account.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. I won't die without your follow.
And you're right. People have these strong opinions, but what is the physique which you guys all want from me?
Yeah.
Like, as if I go to the gym and lose a bit of fat and maybe, you know, lift some weights, all of a sudden you're like, oh, you're too big for me now, you're too bulky. But then if you go on the other end of the spectrum, it's like, oh, you're actually putting on too much weight now. It's like you literally cannot please everyone.
Well, I get guys saying to me like, oh my God, why are you always training glutes? I'm like, as opposed to what? You want me to train traps? Like, but the same guy, like, I'll be like, you know, I'm hungry, I'm in a mood, I've got bad energy to give out. Let me just go on this guy's profile. Let me see who you're following, sir. Oh, shock horror, you're following every girl in a bikini on Instagram and you're coming to me and you're saying to me, why am I training glutes so much?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, it really jars me and gets under my skin sometimes, because the people think that they just have a right to say whatever they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually the ignorant people that have the loudest voices. And it can be draining. But again, comes with the territory. And as long as you're secure within yourself and you remember what your purpose is and why you're doing this, I'm doing this to help other girls. I'm doing this to help other guys. I do have a lot of guys that be like, oh my God, I used your program or I used your video or this and that, or I did a double workout session with my wife. It was great. And, you know, I have that. But there's a small percentage of people that just belong in the block list.
Mm. Well, it's definitely tricky.
Yeah.
In terms of fitness and women wanting to get into good routine, mm-hmm. go to the gym, what do you think they struggle with the most?
I think women have more work than men in life in general. I think just our upkeep and our maintenance and pleasing everyone around us and the fact that we're nurturers and givers automatically means that a lot of our time is given away to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of women work on top of that as well. So I think schedule and finding the time combined with not feeling guilty about doing something for themselves. So I think that's the main thing. Like if you combine those two together, don't see it as you're being selfish. see it as you pouring into your own cup so you can pour to other people, and get a schedule and a routine that works for you. Take the decision mentally that you deserve better and that you want to treat your body well, because we only get one body.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you take that decision, I think things get a lot easier. But
do you think they get quite intimidated when they go to the gym for the first time?
Yes. I personally haven't felt intimidated in mixed gyms. My legs are quite strong, so I quite enjoy going on a leg press after a guy. Like, do you want me to take the weights off? No, that's my warm-up there. But I have heard from my other female friends, it's like, oh my God, I don't want to go to a mixed gym like this, that. Like, and that's completely understandable. But nowadays, especially after COVID, it's like, you don't even have to go to a gym.
Mm.
Like, I do home workouts all the time. I don't not go to the gym because I don't want to go to a mixed one, because I can find female-only gyms and really good female-only gyms now if I want to. I don't want to sit 20 minutes in traffic and 20 minutes back. That is my workout time for me. So I think if you want to find a reason, you will find one. If you want to find an excuse, you'll find one as well.
What's the vibe like at these? Because I obviously have never been to one. What is the vibe like at a female-only gym?
Ladies only gym? You've never been to one, Mike. Jeez.
Well, actually, I got invited to the opening of one of the Fit and Glams.
Okay.
So I had a look inside, obviously, before it was open.
Yeah.
But it was really, it's an impressive gym. Like, it was fully equipped.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was kind of a bit jealous that I couldn't train there myself. So
well, listen, men have had the best of the best when it comes to gyms for ages.
Mm.
And I feel like there was a time like where women's gyms just kind of got like the leftover machines that the men's section didn't want.
Well, I know in Abu Dhabi, they have the big oxygen gym.
Oh, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is unbelievable facilities.
Is it Abu Dhabi? I thought it was Kuwait.
They got a few. There's a few of them. And I think they're opening one in Dubai soon.
Mm-hmm.
But men only. So
2024.
Because I remember I went there was a group of us and there was a girl with us as well. And they were just like, yeah, sorry, it's men only. So she had to go across the street to some female-only gym, and it was not very good.
See, that's what I mean. A lot of the female-only gyms are like, they're just not as kitted out.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, I've seen some amazing gyms in Saudi. I've seen amazing gyms in Dubai. I've seen amazing gyms all around the world. I've even been to gyms like in America and Western worlds where they don't really do segregation, but they've also now implemented a female-only area or female-only time, like a time of that day or once a week or something. And I think it's really good, because anything that encourages people to get into fitness and taking care of their body is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how you do it. It just matters that you do it. So for me, sometimes, like, if I'm not feeling too confident, or, you know, like, I just want to be my moody little self, I'll definitely just go into a women's gym. And sometimes being around other women is just surrounded by their energy. Like, no one's worried about anyone looking at them. No one's worried about, like, being spoken to or this or that. Like, we're strictly there for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, like, it is a nice vibe that you'll never know.
Do you think it's becoming more of a thing for women to, for them to be accepted for being overweight? Real quick, guys, I just want to share with you something which I spent the end of 2023 putting together for you. You see, in life, if you are unhappy with something, you need to change it. That is one of the core philosophies that has driven me, my businesses, and my fitness over the past 10 years. In recent years, I've been asked frequently how I've managed to go from being an average personal trainer, working all day, every day in a gym in the north of England, to the position that I am in today. That is why I decided to create the Digital Playbook. This is a step-by-step blueprint for anybody who finds themselves in the same position that I did years ago, wondering to myself, how can I make money online? Can I really make a full-time income from creating content about the things that I actually like? How can I travel the world, work from my laptop, and at the same time still afford to live a great lifestyle? It's essentially a playbook on how I built multi-million pound businesses off the back of creating content online. If you want to check it out, head over to thedigitalplaybook.net and you can book in a call with my team to find out more. Let's get back to the episode.
Oh, God, Mike, these subjects.
Yes.
Why do you keep doing this to me, Mike? Okay, so.
Because I'm all for, obviously, female empowerment, but I think there's a fine line. Like, when it gets to the point where you're encouraging people to be fat, I don't think that's healthy.
So, body positivity, la-di-da-di-da-di.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a size tiny to be healthy. A lot of skinny people that I do know have 0% muscle mass and they're not healthy, whereas some of my friends that are slightly overweight are probably healthier than them, especially for a woman. A woman needs a certain level of body fat percentage in her body.
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies recreate. We need to have that storage system of energy to be able to pull from, right? However, I draw the line when it goes over a certain line and it's like, okay, you're not functioning properly. You're not walking up the stairs without panting. You know, you're in a way, you're kind of abusing your body. And I'm genuinely a big believer that God gave us our bodies as an absolute blessing. There are people that are born without limbs. There are people that lose limbs. You've got a fully functioning body and you're not taking care of it. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. You don't have a Lamborghini parked in the garage and just, like, not even parked in the garage. You put it in the street, in the sun. Don't take care. You don't do that. Something valuable, you take care of it. So why aren't you taking care of your body? Again, you don't have to be a certain size, but it's more about functionality and the healthiness of your body.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I kind of draw the line. I don't think everyone should look the same. I don't think everyone's beauty standards should be the same. Some people like short hair, some people like long, some people like skinny, some people like, you know, chunky, some people like short, like whatever it is. But I do think it's more about functionality and how you take care of your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from, but I just remember it kind of became a thing. And whatever, people can be however they want to be, but I'm just curious as to the origins of where something like that came from and whether women are actually pushing for something like that because it just reduces competition.
So there was an interesting study. I can't remember whose podcast I saw on.
Probably Chris Williamson's.
About the haircut for women, right? About this woman, she was saying women tend to advise other women to cut their hair shorter in hopes that other people find them less attractive if they found those women to be of equal beauty to them.
Yeah,
to kind of like, yeah, to cut the competition. So it could be some of that, but it could also be to me as well. It's like, listen, the food industry is huge. Yeah. We don't know what on earth's being put in our food now with the mass production and this and that and all these things being sprayed on it and food that's lasting longer, blah, blah, blah. The fitness industry is huge. So we're feeding people from one side, making them unhealthy, and then we're sending them to the gym, making more money on that as well.
Mm.
Or we're sending them to the doctors, which is, again, another huge industry.
Especially in America.
I say this.
They want sick people in America.
Yeah.
I
say this mostly based off of this because it's like, you know, like when you're pulling statistics and you're watching documentaries and you're like kind of educating yourself, most of the things are based in America. But it's like an industry, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like food, fitness, doctors, healthcare.
What's your relationship with food like?
Oh, I love food. Food loves me. I love food. I'll be on the treadmill like having like a hamburger. I'm fine. Listen, I don't feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
As I grow up and as I value my body more and more and I'm like, okay, cool. Wow. I remember falling down a couple of weeks ago when I went to the beach with my friend and I was literally saying to her, I was like, careful, the stairs are slippery. As I finished the word, I just fell. And I remember going to get up and I was like, wow, it's taking me longer to get up. Welcome to your 30s. I was like, when I was in my 20s, I bounced back up. Like nobody saw that. Now I'm like, guys, I'm like, So I'm like, okay. So I don't think I'm getting old, but I think I've been doing the same habits to my body for X amount of years and my body is becoming accustomed to that. So I now look at, okay, what am I eating? What am I putting into my body? My body, my food intake is now my fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want a lot of processed foods. I don't want a lot of chemicals on my food. I don't want all of that. I'm trying to give my body the best of the best. So my relationship with food has definitely changed. But I do enjoy emotional eating every now and then. I wouldn't say enjoy, I'd say indulge in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I think I'm also the same. I think particularly when I used to live in London,
mm-hmm.
when there was something lacking in my life. And I think that was during the phase when I just went all in with work. I wasn't really going out and socializing or having much fun. I was getting my dopamine hits from food.
Yep.
Which was kind of like a weird downward spiral, because then that would make me kind of more, I won't say depressed, but it would make me feel worse because I would be getting in worse condition.
Yeah.
So then it would just be like this downward spiral.
But you're also peaking, aren't you? So you're getting the dopamine peak and then you're crashing down and you're feeling bad and then you're looking to replace it. And then the peak has to be higher than the one before.
Mm.
So, and then obviously as your dopamine spikes up and down, so is your serotonin, so is your oxytocin, so is everything else in your body. And you start to realize that your body is just a load of chemicals and hormones and wirings that you have played a massive hand in doing. So you start to look at your body and what you're doing to it. It's the same reason why I won't check my phone when I wake up in the morning. I'm in a very like, I don't know if it's theta, beta, delta, whatever mood, or mode. And if I look at my phone and I see Keyboard Warrior 259 comment on my page saying something horrible about me, it's not going to put me in the best mood. I still haven't got my thoughts under control and my emotions and everything settled down for me to be like, psh, over my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll set up a system that protects me and protects my dopamine spikes, or, you know, my adrenaline spikes or whatever it may be. Again, another form of self-care.
Well, I don't understand why people are having such a go at you. Is it because of the way you look or the things that you're saying?
When I find out, I'll let you know. Anyone in the comments wants to let us know. I probably highlighted it a bit too much. I would say for every bad comment I get, I probably get like 50 good ones.
Mm-hmm.
But me being me, obviously, you sometimes can't help but notice the bad ones.
Yeah.
And it is like, I'm in a form of self-improvement. I constantly want to self-improve. I'm not oblivious to the fact that, you know, I need to learn and can learn from other people, situations, surroundings, environments. So if 20 people say the same thing that I don't know, it will probably be like, okay, the equivalent of one person that I do know saying something. And I'll probably take it into consideration, or I'll bounce it off the people around me, or say like, hey, what do you think? Like, how can I improve? How can I be better? Which is a really hard conversation to have, by the way. But yeah.
I think you have to, if you want to have some sort of a presence on social media, you just have to deal with the fact that you're going to have to develop thick skin.
Yeah.
Which, it's a shame, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of people, very smart people with good things to say, that remain quiet because they don't want any backlash or confrontation or negativity.
Yeah, well, they don't want to get cancelled, Mike, with these questions.
Hey, I'm going easy today.
Yeah, that's what he said.
You don't get into politics, do you, ever?
Sorry, what?
On social media, you don't.
What does that mean?
Hold on.
What does it mean? Free Palestine. You can leave that bit in as well. I'm just putting that out there.
By the way, were you getting loads of people commenting that on your post?
Yes, and I was pinning them, and I am 100% in support of Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't support oppression in any shape, way, or form. Again, I think there's an agenda to make it look like it's a religious war when it's absolutely not. And we should all learn to live in the world together and accept people's differences. But in no way, shape, or form is killing innocent people acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well said.
Yes.
I do think it's funny, though, when something is happening in the world, there's a conflict somewhere, and because you have a following, people think it's your duty to have an opinion or say something about that issue.
Yep.
But say, for example, me, I actually tried, I was like, okay, let me see what's going on, because I don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so let me try and learn a little bit more about the situation that's going on in Gaza. And oh my God, there's a lot. It's been going on for a while. It's complicated. And I'm definitely better off not saying anything, because I don't know enough to give my opinion on the topic. I could try listen to an expert and just take what he said and just regurgitate it.
Mm.
But that's not my opinion. I'm just taking my opinion from somebody else.
Someone else. I think it's important to educate yourself in all matters, ongoing matters in the world. I think for Arabs in particular, not only Muslims, because I think what people fail to realize is that there's a lot of Christians in Palestine as well. Mm-hmm. It's just been going on for so long. Like, it's like, when does it come to an end? And it's really got to that point where it's like, it's boiling now. Like, it's not okay. I had to educate myself on the history of it, but I do feel like I have formulated enough of an opinion and know enough about the situation in order for me to say, this is my belief. This is what I stand behind. This is what I back. I do understand what you're saying about like people putting pressure on you, like speak about this, speak about that. Like when BLM was happening and I was at the Black Lives Matters protests, I was getting people say to me, well, what about Palestine? Or I was getting people say to me, what about, you know, you're posting about Palestine now, what about Congo?
Yeah.
Well, my belief does not change. My belief is one thing. We do not have the right to be judge and jury. We don't have that right.
Mm-hmm.
We are all citizens of this universe, of this planet. Every single person deserves to have safety and security and peace in their life. There is no killing that is acceptable or justifiable. And especially with the whole Palestine and Palestinian occupation, because that's actually how I address it. I think it's wrong through and through. Mm. I think the international community needs to come together, needs to support, and something needs to happen.
So with what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, what are you doing? What is your main sort of work sources of income?
So, and I would say Instagram, social media. I also have my own performance enhancement company.
Steroids.
No, Mike, that's what you take.
Whoa.
Did you think I wasn't going to give it back?
We'll cut that out.
Are we leaving that? No, we're leaving
no,
this.
We're leaving,
we're leaving this in. No, because obviously it shows I've got a sense of humor as well. Come on.
That's good. Write that.
Anyways, I have a performance enhancement company. It's more of a community-based thing. We're in the process of launching now. It started off with the typical, like, I'm going to release workout guides kind of thing. And then I was like, you know what? Saturated.
You did that though.
I've got them. Haven't released them. Got them ready to go. But it's a part of a bigger.
You should definitely still do it.
I am still doing it.
I can't believe you've not done that already.
Do you know what it is?
You post all these workouts and I'm like, oh yeah, she's probably killing it selling the guides. She's not even selling
guides. I'm killing it. Do you know what?
I'm doing so well. I don't even need to sell guides.
Mate. You sound like inflatables now. we can't leave that bit in. So mine's more performance enhancement. What I want to do is kind of like show people that you don't have to live in the gym in order to be healthy.
Oh, excuse me?
It's like, newsflash.
this is new to me.
Did you not know? Well, you need a thicker guide. That's what you need.
Damn it, I'm doing it wrong.
So it's more like, okay, if you're a chef, you can still benefit from going to the gym. If you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, if you're a teacher, if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're whatever. Performance enhancement and fitness go hand in hand with living a happy and healthy life.
Mm-hmm.
Good for your body, you know, good for your appearance, good for your mentals, good for your emotions. So I don't think people know that enough. I feel like with the fitness industry, like many industries, there's like a pendulum swing. You know, it's nothing. Only a few people know about it. Phew, everyone knows about it. Everyone's an expert. Everyone's on it. Everyone's jumping onto it. And I feel like it's finally going back to the middle of the pendulum now where it's like, okay, people that are really into it are still in. All the fakes and the kind of, you know, bandwagon people have kind of like fallen off a little bit. And then it's like, okay, so what can I do with this now? You know, I'm 35 years old now. I don't necessarily want to live in front of the camera for the rest of my life doing workout videos and telling people how to squat and kick back. Shock horror. But I do want people to feel good about themselves. I could bottle up and give people the feeling of accomplishment and happiness that I feel after a good gym session.
Good gym session.
And bottle it in a bionic pill.
Yeah.
I would.
Should we get it out?
Supplement plug.
Cheeky plug?
Let me see. This is the real matrix going on here.
Customized supplements for me.
which he has not given me any of yet.
Because how can I give you your customized supplements when I know nothing about you?
Do you want my blood, you vampire?
Well, there's two ways of doing it. Huh? And this is where the future's going, because you could either go to the pharmacy, buy loads of random supplements, mm-hmm. and you're guessing. You don't really know what you want. But
can
you just
I take
think,
it?
Yeah.
Am I going to grow, like, wham shoulders and traps like you?
No, 60,000 IU of it. No. So, yeah, this, getting more and more customized supplements makes sense. You can either get it done from a questionnaire, which I believe is around 80% accurate, because this company have done over 60,000 blood tests.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Or you pay a little bit more, you get your blood work done, then you know exactly what it is that you need. And they
definitely want the blood work on.
Yeah.
Definitely
so then... You know exactly what it is that you should be taking.
How long does it take?
A couple of weeks.
Oh, nice. So quite a quick turnaround.
Very quick.
Okay.
I think that's the future. I think a lot of people don't understand the importance of supplementing. Well, I guess it depends. It depends what your diet's like.
Yes.
If you have a diet consisting of unprocessed, nutrient-dense foods, mm-hmm. consuming a wide variety of foods, then... the likelihood of you being deficient in something is going to be less. Mm-hmm. Although you may still be deficient in something because your body might not be able to absorb something for whatever reason.
But also environment. I feel like people in the UK who barely see the sun have different deficiencies than people who live in the Middle East. So there's also environmental deficiencies as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. When I was in the UK, I was struggling.
I don't know anyone. Look, I don't want to say that again. I love the UK. But... it is a different way of life.
Well, I went back there to obviously see family over Christmas, and it's, I don't know how I did it for 29 years. The winters are just so long.
Right? You go back there and you're like, why am I this cold? I call it struggle life. Mm. So when I go back there, I'm like, oh, why am I doing this? I'm slowly trying to convince each and every one of my sisters to move to the Middle East. I think I've got like two of them like on a 60%, but my mom's the hard one to work on. No, I'm the baby.
You're the baby.
I am the baby.
Well, okay, so why do they want to leave?
They, I think, obviously, because they've got kids and husbands and all of that bazaars, you know. But again, excuse, because once they move here and they realize how happy their children are going to be here, it's going to be fine. Mm. And I'd be so much happier. So personal benefit and gain. But yeah.
Do you ever think, because I think about this sometimes, because people always ask me, oh, so do you think you'll stay in Dubai forever? I'm like, well, I don't know. Mm. Like, I live wherever is most... suitable and convenient for me at a current point in time.
Okay.
So right now, it's a great place for me. Like, I don't really have any responsibility in terms of family or things like that. So it's a good place to be. But then when you do want to start a family, that's when you're thinking, okay, so is this place a suitable place to raise a family?
Yeah.
And of course, in terms of the safety, facilities, convenience, it's a great place.
Yep.
But then I always think, like, is it sometimes too good that your kids will be brought up in this bubble, this unrealistic bubble where they don't get to experience the real world? And then when they get older and then they're put in these scenarios in different countries, they'll just be like, oh my God, what do I do?
But is it unrealistic if it is reality? Like, I get what you mean, like, to a certain extent, because when I go back to England, I'm like, what do you mean I can't order a packet of crisps at 4 o'clock in the morning and get it within 8 minutes? Mm-hmm. How dare you guys in England? Like, how do you live? But, and I do think having the contrast of knowing both cultures or both lives or knowing that people live differently has... helped my growth and my mentality and being able to be around all types of people. But you know what? Like, I would have loved to be like just in a little bubble growing up. Kids should be in a bubble growing up. Kids are forced out of a bubble too soon. You know, like, I want to be able to send my kids to school not worrying if they're going to get stabbed for their Canada Goose fake jacket.
Or learning about sex education at 6 years old.
Exactly that. So I want my kids to be in that bubble. I want them to be protected. I want them to enjoy their childhood. The whole growing up too quickly thing. And trust me, I did it. Like, if I could turn back time, I would be like, do you know how much I love school? Do you know how much I love university? When my biggest, like, worry in the world was, like, getting my dissertation done. Like, growing up and being an adult is not that fun sometimes. Mm. So I think kids being in a bubble is a good thing. I think it allows them to develop better.
I remember when I finished university, I was just like, oh, okay, so now. It's over now.
Yeah.
But I am glad that I was raised in the UK because I think that has had a big impact on who I am today. And I think particularly, maybe it was just my group of friends being in Leeds, just having such a genuine group of friends. We would all just like make fun of each other. Yeah. We would all keep ourselves grounded. Like even if someone started to do like real, we'd still kind of like pull them down jokingly.
Yeah.
And that is something which I think I feel as though has helped with becoming more popular on social media and never get too caught up in thinking that I'm better than everyone else.
Oh my God, my sisters, if they're watching this, my sisters used to literally rip me. Be like, you love taking so many photos of yourself. And I'm like, listen, guys.
I need to.
I suffer from PTSD. Yeah. So I need visual reminders of happy memories because the flashbacks in my head are not great. Mm-hmm. So they used to joke about it. And I'd be like, listen, one day, guys, one day this photo will be worth so much money. Fast forward a few years, look at me now. Mama, I made it. But yeah, I think your friendship circle, because your friendship circle are the people that you choose to be like your extended family, is such a good representation of you. It can literally make or break you. Like whatever your friends are vibing on, whether you're like, oh no, I'm so different, you will take from it, you'll automatically pick up on it. And having friends, oh, so important not to have yes friends. I don't like yes friends.
Do you know what it is? I think it's harder for women to find genuine friends compared to men. I feel like they're way more competitive with each other. Am I right or am I wrong?
So, again, back to the agenda. I feel like women are more in competition nowadays. I think women don't realize their power. I think if every woman realized their power, the world would be completely different right now. It would be so different. But how? Men have this.
How? You say, how? Elaborate.
Again, people, when they're insecure, they're more susceptible. When we're more susceptible, you go against the foundation of what makes a strong family and a strong household. And the more weaker households you have, you know, I think I've lost my train of thought. Mike, what was I saying before?
Female friends.
Female friends. I did used to wonder, like, you know, like how guys, they can be like, oh yeah, I'm so angry at him. Oh my God, yeah, we just punched up each other. And then the next day they're like, yay.
Yeah, like 5 minutes later, it's shake hand.
And I'm like,
that is how men are usually.
I'm like, she looked at me funny 16 years ago. I still don't talk to her. But, you know, not joking. Yeah. I'm joking. I'm not that shallow. Or am I? But, yeah, I do think so. I think it's because like women are more in competition now. And again, back to society and like how things have changed. You know, back in the day, if you wanted to see a woman, you know, or if you wanted to be intimate with someone, you're going to have to jump through hoops. You know, you're going to have to go and get 10 cows and, you know, farm this and meet the father and do all of these things to jump through hoops. But now it's like, well, people don't need to do that anymore. If you're not willing to, somebody else will. 10 else will. So that's why I say if women all took back their power and valued themselves more, world would be very different.
Because my experience of being, when I moved here to Dubai, I think, I mean, I'm obviously at an age now where I'm a much better judge of character. Like, I know when someone's full of shit. And I know when somebody is, if they try too hard or they're name dropping, I'm like, ugh, like yep. This person is either trying to impress me or trying to get close to me for whatever reason it might be. Those people who are just more genuine and just laid back and they tend to have their own thing going on and it's pretty successful. Like it's, everybody seems to be wanting each other to do well. And when we succeed, we're genuinely happy for them.
Yep.
Whereas in a circle of women who are friends, I think that's slightly different. Like say, for example, I mean, it depends how close they are and how genuine a friendship they have. But if like, there's one particular woman who seems to be getting loads of success, she's getting all this fame, she maybe has the dream boyfriend or gets married and they're just like so in love and then it's all over the place. Even, you know, if they're meeting up in a social situation and then, you know, it's kind of in their face. Yeah. those friends who maybe are single and they don't have things going as well for them, they tend to get pretty jealous, don't they?
So I would say it comes down a lot to self-reflection. So I was actually having this conversation with someone literally last night, and we were saying, because the understanding is, and I don't necessarily agree with this, and I'm just going to put this out there, I have an amazing friendship circle. I have female friends that each and every one of them in their own right is absolutely killing it. There is zero jealousy between us, that we are uplifting and supporting each other constantly. You know, today may be my day, tomorrow may be yours, but it's not a matter of like, there's not enough to go around. The scarcity mindset of like, there's not enough to go around. That's what I think causes the jealousy and almost the fear. But back to the conversation I was having the other night, we were literally saying, if a man sees a happy couple, you know, he looks at that happy couple and thinks, oh, I want that for myself. You know, what has this person done to get that? Mm-hmm. Let me do the same. Whereas sometimes if a woman sees a happy couple, she thinks, oh, I want him for myself. So there's that like approach. It's more like you're not self-reflecting and thinking, this man is this way with this woman because of how she treats him, how they mix, the recipe that they make together as a couple, what they both bring to the table, how she makes them feel. You're looking at the end result thinking, oh, he's just that way inclined. Well, he's not necessarily that way inclined. This person brings it out of him. And I think that is a big difference, not between a man and a woman, but I would say, because I have seen men do that as well, I would say that's the difference between a mature person that's willing to self-reflect and say, do you know what? Maybe I've been the toxic one in relationships. Maybe I've been difficult to love. Maybe I haven't been grateful. Maybe I'm not the right woman yet to ask for the right man. So it's the self-reflection. Someone who self-reflects is saying, okay, what am I doing wrong in order for me not to have that and obtain that? And a person who doesn't want to self-reflect is saying, oh, I don't need to change anything. He's just that way inclined. I'll just take that person instead. Mm-hmm. So I think there's the difference. I don't think it's a men or a woman thing, but I would say hand on heart, I've probably seen it more from women, but there is definitely men that does that as well.
How long have you been friends with this group of
I would friends? Say there are friends that I've been in the circle for about 9 years, 10 years. And then there are people that I've been like for 5 years. I like all my friends to get along. So like if I'm doing events, I'm not just doing like one thing with one group of friends and another thing with not. No, you guys are all getting along. And if for some reason some of you don't get along, there's a reason behind it. And like, you know,
I feel like you're the one that sorts it out. You're like, listen, you two.
I'm that person. I'm like, okay, you guys, I'm just going to lock you in a room. At this point, I don't care who's right and who's wrong. I think like we all need to go over it. I like to be the peacemaker, but at the same time, I have very strong opinions about things. So if I say it, I'll be like, listen, like it or not, this is how it comes across. Because again, there are how things are and how things look. And if you've got something to lose, like a friendship or like hurting people's feelings, then you have to take both into consideration.
Here's a scenario, right? So somebody has changed location. They've moved to progress with their career. Maybe they got a new job. Maybe they just want to relocate. But they don't know anyone. But they want to try and find some friends, female friends in the area who are similar in some sense. They're also driven, ambitious. How do they go about finding those people? Because in certain places, there's usually the wrong type of women who you probably don't want to be associating with too much.
Community. I think community is very important. Obviously, you were saying they've moved from one place to another. They don't know people. But sometimes all you need is one person to introduce you. But also hobbies. So what are your hobbies? I play paddle. I know tomorrow if I went to a different country and I didn't know anyone, I'd probably go to a paddle club and find people that have similar interests as me. It's like there has to be something. I like reading books. I'll go to a library, chill out there. Or like, you're actually making me sound like someone who's like going to a library, like, hi, I need friends.
But we're not normal people though, because we have, this is what I noticed.
Speak for yourself.
When I came to Dubai, I came here by myself. And I actually didn't really know anybody here.
Yeah.
But I was a somebody in some sense. Like I had my YouTube channel, I had my Instagram. So like people, especially in the gym scene, they knew who I was.
Mm.
So meeting people wasn't really difficult because I had from very early stages, there were kind of people reaching out to me.
Mm.
I think it's, I can't put myself in the shoes of somebody who is, you know, no social media presence. Very quickly, guys, I just want to ask you a quick question. Are you taking supplements? And if you are, do you have any idea if you're taking the right supplements in the right amounts? You see, the more that I discovered about the importance of micronutrient supplementation and the adverse health effects of micronutrient deficiencies, I would constantly ask myself the same thing. I would go into supplement stores, load up on bottles of micronutrients and pop pills daily without really knowing if they were doing me any good or not. That's when I decided to try out Bionic. Since 2021, I've been getting my blood work done with them every 3 to 4 months. And once the blood test has been analyzed, they would put together a customized micronutrient formula tailored specifically for me. And this would last me for 3 to 4 months until I got my blood work done again. And since then, I've honestly never looked back. If you are also serious about performing at your best, preventing development of diseases and maximizing your overall health and well-being, I highly recommend you give it a try. And they've recently introduced Bionic Go, which is a fraction of the price, where all you need to do is just fill in a questionnaire online without the need of a blood test. If you want to find out more or give them a try, head over to bionic.com, but you can use my exclusive referral code BQMikeThurston for a discount on your first order. Let's get back to the episode.
Sometimes I think it's easier when you don't have a social media presence. I really do.
Well, yeah, I'm also starting to think that as well sometimes.
I think social media, people think that they know you before they meet you. Yeah. And that's really hard. Like the amount of people that I've had say to me like, oh my God, I thought you were so stuck up.
Mm.
And I'm like, how? You don't even know me. Like, so that was interesting. But I think having hobbies and also learning to be okay by yourself is a very important part of your journey as well. However, you know, if you want to build friendships with people, you build friendships with people based off of similarities. So the first thing you do is start finding people with similar hobbies as you. And then once you find someone that has similar hobbies as you, then you see if they've got similar morals as you. Again, not everyone that plays paddle is going to be my friend. I know some really messed up people that play paddle. I'm not going to be friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying it's a building block to start off of.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, don't underestimate spending time by yourself. It's actually great. I love it.
When did you first do that for yourself?
I think at the age of 28 to 30, I was very isolated. I was very, like at that point, I was like, maybe I'm living a bit of a double life. Like on social media and Instagram, I look like I've got my whole life together. Behind closed doors, I was like, oh my God, I'm 29. I'm not married.
Mm.
I thought I was going to be married with kids by the age of 26. Life is not going to plan. You know, it was just time for me to recenter and reevaluate and really understand what's important for me. So 28, 29, 30. And I say this to all of my friends that are like 29, it's like, because I have a few turning 30 this year. I'm like, it's absolutely normal. Like to have that little moment of, oh my God, what's going on? Mm-hmm. I also think there's a quarter life crisis as well. It's 25. I had another like little meltdown then as well. So I always say to people, it's normal to have these feelings. But you learn so much about yourself.
You have all this time to think and ask yourself questions and reevaluate your life. It's weird as well, because for me, I got to the point where I liked it. And then it's dangerous.
That's the danger. Too much.
And then you're like, you get way more picky with who you're going to be spending your time with. So you're like, hang on, I've actually got it pretty good right now.
Yep.
Like I'm content.
Don't
if I want to go and meet someone, I can meet someone. I'm happy with my alone time. So if you're not making this situation better, then what are you bringing to the table?
Yep, I get that. I totally get that. It's like this whole big fear around the word standards.
Mm.
Like people are like, oh, standards, here she goes again. But it's good to have standards. Like if I do X amount for myself, if I bring myself X amount of peace and I'm in this place, I don't want to be disrupted. Like I think each and every person at some point in their life needs to go to therapy.
Yeah, probably.
Some more than others. But it's almost like if I've done the work on myself and someone comes into my life that hasn't necessarily done the work that they need to do on themselves, it's kind of like a broken glass on the floor. Like you want to pick it up and you want to fix it, but 9 times out of 10 in the process, you're going to cut your hands trying to do it. Hmm. Your intentions are good, but there's only so much somebody else can do for you. And I remember my brother-in-law saying to me, around about this time, like when I was 28, 29, he was like, no one's coming to save you. Don't you think it's time you save yourself? And I just remembered him saying that to me. And I was like, whoa.
Why did he say that though? Were you waiting for someone to come along and save you?
I don't know. I guess to some extent, it's like I always craved, like the only people that I crave validation from and reassurance from is my family. I think having those 11 years apart from my family when I moved to Saudi with my dad, it almost made me feel like an outsider to a certain extent with my own family. So I was always like kind of like craving their approval or, you know, their admiration or their like their well done, their pat on the back. And so much so that I forgot that, again, like it's me. You know, it's me that needs to be proud of myself. It's me that needs to feel that way about myself. So, yeah, I think at that point, it was like, why are all my efforts going unnoticed? Like, why, like, you know, like, is it because we had all this time apart that I don't fit in? Like, do I belong here? And it was just like a lot of like, I'm not where I want to be in my life. And, you know, I was supposed to be married and society tells me that, you know, by the age of 30, like a woman's eggs or whatever gets ruined, or like, and all of these different radio stations on in my head, and it just got to be a little bit too much for me. That's when I was just like pulled back, secluded myself, did the work on myself. And I always said, like, God will send me the right man when I'm the right woman. Not God will send me the right man to make me the right woman. Like, I really much believe in that. So I think fixing your previous traumas to a certain extent, as much as you can by yourself, is your responsibility. What happened to you isn't your fault. Mm-hmm. But fixing yourself and healing yourself is 100% your responsibility. And I think people nowadays go into a relationship looking for someone to save them. And actually you end up ruining the person that you claim that you love. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a very fine line as well from having standards, but then having unrealistic standards to the point that you actually end up finding no one because your standards are so high that you actually never meet or come across this guy who meets those standards.
Yeah.
What's your thought on that one?
Listen, Dubai Bling, I'm just going to say, that guy buying her 3 cars, I don't know the names of the people in it. I haven't watched it. I'm not hating on the program. If you want to feature me.
Would you own it?
No. Listen, I'm trying to make my life more private.
Yeah, that's the last thing you want.
The last thing I want to do is be on a TV show. I think, like, again, Mike, you really want to get me cancelled. You really want to get me cancelled. Before you expect from someone, expect from yourself. So again, instead of me going, oh, what's my partner going to do for me? My concern is, what can I do for my partner? Am I loving them from a healthy place? Am I back to being neutral, you know? Or am I going to have an argument with him about being out late and I'm going to blow it out proportion, you know, because somebody else is staying out late and when they were out late, they cheated and we did this. What are you carrying into your next relationship? What are you doing? Like, what are you bringing in with you? And also, like, why are you interested in getting to know this person? I have no interest in getting to know you if you just want to date. I'm dating with purpose. I want to get married, you know, like, this is what I want. I want a family. And I think it's important to always look at what you bring to the table. You know, don't be unrealistic with your expectations and expect someone to love you more than you love yourself. You know, and yes, how you present yourself to the world is a form of self-love. You know, I can look at someone and just off the bat, I'm like, okay, this is giving this vibe. I may be wrong. I may be wrong. But this is what I'm understanding. Again, it could be a case of is how things look and how things are. But in this case, all I know of this person is how they look. So if I see you, you know, toppling over and just like falling over and just like not holding yourself in a, like a good manner, or just like just holding yourself with respect, but then you expect some guy to come along and like, you know, protect and provide for you and put his arms around you and just make you feel like a princess when you're not even carrying yourself to that standard. It's like, well, you're asking something of someone else that you don't even give to yourself. And vice versa for men as well. Like, I think we put a lot of pressure on women to be a certain way. And at least for myself, like, I grew up watching Disney movies. I just thought, like, at some point, probably at 26, that Prince Charming would come along and save me. And, you know, he'd just make all my problems better. And that's not the reality of the world. The more broken families we have, the more unhealed or people carrying trauma we have. We have men, you know, being super soft and feminine, and we have women being super masculine and super like hyper independent. And I've done the hyper independent stage. I'm not doing that again. And I hated it. I'm not doing it. But yeah, I just think,
I think as well, it's in today's dating world, it's a bit of a mad one, because you have the top 1 to 10% of men who are wanted by 100% of the women almost. And then all those other guys in the 90%, they're having a very difficult time finding anyone, because those women are, because they have the standards for themselves, they only really want like the 1 to top 10%. So there's a lot of guys that are struggling, no doubt.
Well, I think women date who they want, men date who they can. Again, I think to a certain extent, the
women have the power.
Yeah, women have the power. The ball is now caught for most things. But again, realistically, it's like, you know, you're not going to get a guy that's going to gift you 3 supercars on your birthday. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's what you're aspiring to and that's what's important to you, then you definitely need to work on yourself a little bit, because wouldn't you rather choose a guy that gives you emotional stability and allows you to just wildly and freely be yourself, while you know that if you need him, you can turn around and you can find him and he's there for you. He's got your back. Like, someone that you can say to, I need you to help me like arrange my thoughts. Can I vent to you? Can I emotionally offload on you? You know, like, oh, I need you for this. Like, isn't that more important? So what are you placing importance on? Because this guy can get you 3 cars and give it to you, but he's probably going to cheat on you left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Like,
but that's the problem with the most successful men. Like, because they have so much choice, finding a successful man, high value man, who is loyal, which I guess loyalty makes him a high value man.
Yes.
Hard to find.
So I think it goes hand in hand, like you were saying, like, you aren't a high value man until you are loyal as well. Because I think the narrative of like, you know,
bad boy.
Yeah, like it's so overdone. We're so over that. That, what was his name?
Dan Bilzerian, yeah.
I don't know if he's been on your show. I don't know if he's going to be on your show. I'm not casting him. I'm just saying again, his lifestyle is not for me. That to me does not scream high value man. It just.
Well, I think a lot of that was all staged at the end of the day.
But again, okay, so cool. You've got a platform. And like you said, over 1 million followers. You're automatically a role model. So what type of role model are you being? It's very easy to say like a woman taking off her clothes is a bad role model for women. But then what we're saying about the men that are creating like or a part of the demand, creating the supply. So you can't complain about the supply if you create the demand. So I think it's like it's all interlocked with each other. And I don't think I'll ever fully understand the pressures of a man, because obviously I'm not one, just newsflash. But I do think a lot of problems would be solved if women stopped taking advice about men from women and men stopped taking advice about women from men. If you want advice about the opposite sex, talk to the opposite sex. I think it's like that's a lot easier. And also talk to someone who's in a position that you aspire to be in. You know, you don't go to a barber that has no hair and say to him, oh my God, will you cut my hair for me? You know, you don't do that. You don't go to a blind person and ask them, what do you think about my outfit? So,
do you know what's tricky as well? I feel as though I've learned a lot from experience.
Yeah.
Which I have no problem with. But I feel that's probably because I'm a guy. if you're a woman who's had lots of experience, yes, you've got the experience, but then that means you've had to deal with all the bullshit that has come with being in all these different relationships and then maybe having a higher body count than you would have originally liked to have. So I think that's a tricky one. I think experience from having relationships can teach you a lot, but that shouldn't be the only thing that prepares you for a successful relationship.
No, I think it all starts and ends with yourself. Mm-hmm. I think once you know who you are, what you like, what you're looking for in a partner, and again, what it would take to be in a relationship with that person. You know, again, like a lot of countries, Saudi Arabia, where I'm from, we have like a dowry system. Like, it's not easy access and too many options. It's actually a terrible and detrimental thing for society, for relationships, for households. You know, why shouldn't it be like a little bit difficult getting to know someone? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I just think the options and the availability is where everything's going wrong. And people misunderstand it for like, oh, there are X amount of girls in the world. That means I have the option of X amount of girls, mm-hmm. which is not true at all. You know, I think successful women as well, they had this misunderstanding. It's like, okay, the more successful I get, you know, the more successful men like I will have access to, or that will be like my new dating pool. And it's like, a successful man doesn't care how successful you are.
Yeah.
Every single man cares about the same thing. How do you make them feel? Mm-hmm. And that's literally as far as it goes. But again, I think society benefits off of causing this division and wedge and taking men further away from masculinity and taking women further away from femininity. I think
the agenda.
I've said it. I stand by it. There's an agenda. Mm-hmm. I stand by it.
When you are in a relationship,
yep.
How much of that will you put out there on social media?
None.
Not a single thing. What if? Even when you have kids?
Oh, I'm definitely not putting my kids on social media. Do you know how many weirdos there are out there? There are a lot of weirdos. I will not be putting my kids on social media. That's not happening, number one. Like, you can see the shapes of them, the outlines of them. You will know that I have kids. Mm-hmm. You will know that I have a husband. But there is no need for you to know what my husband looks like. Mm. There's absolutely no need for it. I do think there's a beauty in privacy. It's like, even with my family, people are like, oh, you don't post this person or your mom or your dad or your this or your that. And I'm like, well, yeah, I chose to be on social media. That is, my social media is about me. My social media is mostly about fitness and lifestyle, performance enhancement, whether it be mental, physical, whatever. Showing you my partner, like, doesn't give my workouts credibility. I don't squat better because I'm married. Like, that's got nothing to do with anything. However, though, I will say it also depends on your partner and how much privacy they want. And when you post your partner on social media, you have to know that those, like we were saying, like that 1% of weirdos that follow you will go to the extreme to potentially mess up something that you've worked so hard to find and create and protect. Mm-hmm. So I personally, for me, because I'm not in relationship advice or any of that, I don't see.
That's what this podcast is about.
Yes, guys.
I thought you were a relationship expert.
Oh, no. No.
God, I got the wrong person.
I'm the squat person.
Damn it.
Oh, God. Come on, Mike. Get it together. But yeah, so like, I don't benefit anything from showing that. Like, you know, I wouldn't necessarily hide if I was married. I would let them like know, like, okay, there's a person in my life. I'm married. I'm this, I'm that. But it's not necessarily who it is. Who it is irrelevant. You need to know that I'm married because you need to know, like, this is not Tinder. This is Instagram. Stop trying to send me like marriage proposals to my DMs because that's just weird. But yeah.
Damn, that's the wrong tactic.
Was that your fake account?
Damn it.
I knew it.
Also, do you know what's weird though? I think in gyms, it seems to be such a weird environment for people to approach.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I, for one, don't like getting bothered that much when I'm training. I'm there for a reason, but obviously I'll speak to someone if they're a fan or whatever. But to go up and start approaching and hitting on a woman is kind of like, kind of annoying. But
yep.
There are certainly some people there who want to be hit on. Usually they're
you can tell,
they're
though.
Not wearing much.
You can tell who they are, though. Yeah, yeah. Again, that's why I say to you, how you present yourself and how you dress and everything's also a form of self-love and how you want to be perceived in the world. But I do like the fake headphone thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have anything. I literally, oh my God, this is going to backfire on me. I literally have nothing playing in my headphones. I just do the, huh? I've the amount of times I've done the fake phone call and then my phone rings, it's terrible. It's embarrassing.
So, you know, I was thinking of myself in your shoes.
Yep.
I don't know if I would just go to the gym with a fake ring and just be like, I'm married.
I've done that. I have like a fake engagement ring that I wear when I do like events and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge one. It serves two purposes. Number one, it fears off like any people that like, I'm just like, oh, sorry, I'm married. Like, I'm so flattered, but I'm already married.
Yeah.
Number two, it lets my future husband know that this is the level. I'm like, listen, if my fake one is this big, yeah. But yeah, like I do that all the time. I did it at the boxing events that I was at, everything. Like, I just wear a ring. I'm like, yeah, I'm so sorry, I'm engaged.
I think it's the best way to reject someone politely, because this is the thing. All right, I don't know if you know this, but maybe some guys are super confident, but there's a lot of guys who probably aren't that confident. They've been going to the gym and they keep seeing the same girl every single day. And they're like, oh my God, I really like this girl. But they're just not very confident. And they're like, I need to speak to them. Every day that they don't speak to them, it is like burning them inside. And then finally, one day, they pluck up the courage to just go up to them and introduce themselves and ask them a question.
Who was she, Mike?
And I've done this before when I was in my 20s. And I've been shot down. And it feels so bad.
See, that's the thing as well, I think.
So there's, because I was, one of my ex-partners, this was happening to her. And she would be like really rude to them. Like borderline, tell them to just F off. And I said to her, I was like, don't do that because you're destroying their confidence. Like, you don't know how hard it was for them to come up and say hello to you. And I mean, bear in mind, I'm in a relationship with this person. Mm-hmm. So I should really be supporting her, telling them to F off. But I said, just put them down
gently.
Gently, yeah.
I think, again, it's the whole thing. It's like, you know, I do think to a certain extent, some girls think that that's how men want them to reply. Like, she probably think that you'd be proud of her to do that. Like, oh yeah, she's so for me. Like, but again, we all live in this world together. We are social creatures. I personally think that we're made in pairs. So I do believe in like in the union of marriage and being with someone and being happy and everything. So it's like, if you're genuinely trying to find your person, and like you said, like your story said, he really liked her. That's the difference. Some people are going to the gym to play a numbers game. Whew, that is very draining and long. Mm-hmm. But like, if you genuinely like someone, like you genuinely like them, then, you know, like you said, just go over, say hello, introduce yourself. I think when people introduce themselves to me, it's more like, oh, okay, cool. Like, what's your name? Okay, so nice to meet you. Like, I'm so sorry. I'm really flattered, but like, I'm engaged already. Mm-hmm. If then they keep on.
Yeah, that's, then you can be rude.
Then I'm like, hello. But also, I do find it interesting, especially when I used to live in London. It's like, if I would say to someone like, sorry, I'm not interested, that wasn't sufficient. But if I said to them, I've got a fiance. Yeah.
We've got a game on our hands here.
But then if I say to them, I've got a fiance or I'm engaged or whatever, they'll be like, okay, sorry. So I'm like, hold on a second. So you're more inclined to respect an imaginary man that isn't even here than the fact that I'm just not interested.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is a bit of a like,
yeah,
it's a bit of an annoying one. But I do believe in letting down people, like letting people down gently, because it is a confidence thing as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's say, for example, hypothetical situation, we're in a relationship or married, whatever. Can I have female friends?
We have female friends.
What do you mean?
I mean, your friends are my friends and my friends are your friends.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So any friend that I have, I would be like, hey, come join us for
what, Mike?
Dinner.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
So under no circumstance would I be allowed to have female friends that aren't part of the family?
No, I'm joking. I think, for example, there are certain behaviors and things that men pick up on other men.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain behaviors that women pick up on other women that men don't see. So you, like, a guy could do a very subtle movement, or like, you being a man, you know, like, that's a territory mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly what they're doing. Like, but as women, we don't understand it. We don't see it because that's not a part of how we maneuver or what we do. And I think it's the same for women as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, again, when you're married and you're in a relationship, your partner is your everything. It's no longer a me and you, it's an us. Is this person good for us as a couple where we want to go? To me, it sounds ridiculous that a person would choose a friend over a spouse, over a partner, over someone that you're spending intimate time with, you're building a family with, you're having children with.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It doesn't make sense to me. It's almost like if you're not going to prioritize your partner because your partner is the only person in the world that you should prioritize and get all your needs from, and vice versa, she's the only person that should get all of her needs from you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be sufficient and enough for your partner to be everything to them. If you're still holding on to someone so much outside of your relationship, it just doesn't make sense, especially if I've like seen something from her or like I've got a vibe. There's a difference.
She's liking photos. She's...
You know what I mean, Mike? No, but just in general, it's like, you know, like, I don't know, for example, you want a cup of tea. She rushes over to get it for you. And I'm like, hold on a second. But what are you doing? Like, that's my man. I cater to him. You don't cater to him. What am I, invisible? Like, so for me, it's like a territory thing. Like, that's my job to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want anyone else to make my husband happier than me. That's my job. Don't take that away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. Like, that's my pride and joy. The same way, like, I take pride and joy in my job. You know, when I go to the next phase of my life and I am married and I'm with my partner, their happiness to me is top priority. And I think about their feelings and they think about my feelings. Yeah. And it should be considered.
Are you, well, I'm assuming you're religious.
I would like to say so. Yeah.
Do you think it's... How, like, this is the thing.
Pause, because I'm going to get all the... If she's so religious, why isn't she wearing a headscarf comments? So just give them a moment for that. Okay, and continue.
Yeah, what was I going to say?
I don't know. What were you going to say?
So how much has religion has had an impact on your life? Do you feel like you've become more religious as you've got older?
Yes. I feel like I was introduced to my religion by my family through fear. And now I am being, like, I'm full circling and I'm falling in love with my religion out of love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm not forced to do this. I'm choosing to do this. And I have 100% conviction that I've only gotten through the things in my life by the grace of God. There are some things in my life which I will not talk about in this podcast, Mike. Save it for the exclusive next time.
I tried, guys.
CNN, you know, like, who's paying the most? I just want to retire. I want one big fat paycheck so I can retire, close my Instagram down and just be a housewife and have 5 kids. That's all I want, guys. But yeah, I was saying, there are certain situations in my life I genuinely, hand on heart, I know that the only thing that got me through was God.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think someone's relationship with God is very personal. I don't think I am in a place to judge anyone else. You know, circling back to the whole like Palestine thing and like the OnlyFans and this and that, I saw more OnlyFans girls post about Palestine and Gaza than I did, you know, respectable influencers. And I'm like, oh.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah, and I felt like, oh my God, I was so bad to be judgy. Like that, like, you really don't know what someone's going through. Is it my personal choice or preference for career path? Certainly not.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you never really know someone's intentions. Mm-hmm. And that's also a part of my religion. In the amal bin niyat means your deeds are by intention. So you never know what someone's going through.
Yeah, because I asked you that before. I was like, the scenario where... a woman is in a living in a poor country, mm-hmm. in a state of poverty, family is struggling, no way out, options very limited, but there's OnlyFans. The OnlyFans could take them and the entire family out of poverty, but at what cost?
Exactly. What's the cost?
Mm.
What's the cost? I believe that this whole life is a big test.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, I won't even start to presume that I even understand what God's master plan is, but I do know that I personally feel a woman's test, like, I think women are creatures of attention. So a lot of a woman's test comes from how she accepts and who she accepts attention from. And I think a part of a man's test is like desire, you know, hence why men have more testosterone and they have a higher sexual drive, blah, 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 blah. So I think a part of a man's test is also how he can control that and who he can say no to. So I think...
It's a very good point.
Yeah. I think in this life, that is our test. And again, I can't speak for that situation because I'm not in it and I wasn't in it. But I know that hypothetically, if I was, I would still not choose that path.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be for me. Because
I always have the highest respect for people who didn't take the shortcut.
Yeah.
And there's so many shortcuts in today's world.
That's why I know he's not on steroids.
Thank you.
Because I genuinely know that, by the way. I genuinely know that.
Why do you think that?
Because, not that I've like been weird or anything, but sometimes people who take steroids, you can see it in the texture of their skin.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also see it in their mood swings. You, since the day that I've met you, which is like, 6 years ago, he has constantly been moody, guys. Like, it's just constant. If he was on steroids at some point for about 4 weeks, he'd be so happy. So, yeah, there's that. But I know, I get it, because I remember the first time someone said to me I had a fake bum. My first reaction was, oh, my God, I'm so offended. And then I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I've made it. I've cracked the code. I've gone to the gym and I look so amazing. People think I'm fake. I don't mind.
There is definitely a rise in the amount of cosmetic surgeries being performed on women these days.
Yes.
What's your thoughts on that?
I have seen some women who have so much plastic in them. If they went in the ocean, it would be considered... I'm not joking. I'm not saying that.
This is what I don't understand. It's okay, so... I understand if you have a little procedure done to slightly enhance something.
Yep.
Not like mess up your face, but maybe you've done something to make your lips a little bit thicker.
I have done my lips.
So, like, that's fine. But the problem is, I think, I don't know, I wouldn't know. Is it addictive? Like, when you do one procedure, you're like, oh.
But it's the attention, isn't it?
But this is what I don't understand, because in my opinion... those that are getting more work done look more ridiculous. And it's weird because I have conversations with my friends and we'll either see someone in person or the social media and we'll all agree that it looks ridiculous. So who is supporting this behavior? Like, who are the
it's
guys?
It's you guys. It's the men still liking the photos. Again, you're complaining about the supply when you're creating the demand. So it's like guys saying like, oh, it's just a photo, I just liked it. And I'm like, oh, it's not a photo, I'm gonna slap you. That is not that. Like, so first of all, I think what women think men are attracted to is so far from what men are actually attracted to.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, I think it's like, again, like we said about food, it's a dopamine spike. I go, I get something done, I go out, I get more attention, I feel good about myself. Why? Because I'm in a society where I'm insecure, so I'm more susceptible, be it from people's opinions or people's validation or this or that. It's across the board a thing that works for many aspects of life.
The diaper bum is the...
oh my God.
That's wild.
I've seen people that look like their bodies have been cut off like two different people and just stuck together. And I'm like, but why? Where are your friends? Like,
why is nobody saying don't do this?
Why? Like, why are you not listening? Like, it just doesn't make sense. But again, each to their own. I'm all for people
some
feeling confident.
Like, clearly, some guys like it.
There you go. But again, it's like, if I've only got my looks to attract you to me, That's not sustainable. That's why when you go out, I'm going to think that, you know, if a pretty girl walks past you, that you're looking at her, because that's what got your attention in the first place. But if it took me and, well, me a long time to get to know you, and you valued my opinion and you valued my moral compass and my behaviors and my mannerisms over the way I looked, I know that, you know, you're not just going to be like that with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, again, supply and demand, there are definitely guys out there that like that. And you can't deny that they get attention when they go out. But again, are they differentiating between looks of what on earth is that and looks of, oh my God, that's so nice? Or is like any publicity is good publicity in that case?
Imagine a world where if like overnight men just, all men around the world stopped liking bikini pictures and nude pictures. Imagine how much that would mess with their heads. They'd be like, what?
What do you mean?
What's going on?
Yeah, I have to do more than my looks and take a photo to like a guy to like me. Oh my God. But yes, why not? Like, so this is why I say a man's challenge in the world is to control his desires.
Mm.
You liking that photo. So I'm just going to put a little bit of that desire here. And then your partner sees it and you're like, I don't know why you're upset. It's the same as walking past someone winking at them or mm-hmm. giving them a little smile. But this leaves a digital footprint.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's why I was one of those guys. Then a couple of years ago, I stopped.
But also comes with maturity
mm-hmm.
and having someone explain it to you in a way that lands with you, like, or to you, that this is actually quite hurtful. And again, girls are creatures of attention. So if that's an bit of attention of yours that I feel like I deserve and you're giving it to someone else, it also comes from that.
As well, I think I realized this was from some of my other friends that I followed who are guys. And I would see like every time there was just like, whether it be someone who I follow or just like the recommended photos, anytime it was a woman in shape in a bikini, they had always liked every yeah. single photo. And I was like, bro, come on, this is not a good look for you. Like,
play
you
were cool
looking
a bit.
So thirsty. Here.
Like it with your eyes, not yeah. with your, like, don't physically like it. You don't need to leave proof. What's wrong with you? I think, do you know what? I think we speak so much about like a girl's reputation and like, you know, like her history and her this and her that. But listen, good women actually look at how men handle themselves as well and you know, what they accept and how they love themselves as well. If you're a high value man, you really don't have time to be spreading around likes. Mm-hmm. Like, you're really focused on your work. If you really want the best of yourself and you want to be out there doing things and getting stuff done, you barely even have time to open up Instagram anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what it is. So there's a conflicting message from us that we're trying to get from that we're getting from these men. It's like, I'm high value. I'm this, I'm that. Oh my God. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
Sally from Sutton and God knows who from where, like, I'm just going to like it. I'm like, suddenly when you give me attention, I don't feel as special anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if all it takes is like a bit of silicon to get your attention, I don't feel special.
Have you ventured into YouTube yet?
Yeah, I think I've got like 200,000 on there, I think.
How has that been different to Instagram?
I think my YouTube family is so much nicer.
Really?
Yeah, they're so much nicer. I did like follow along workout videos and I did a couple of vlogs.
Did you find it weird doing the vlogs and kind of sharing your day-to-day life with people? Or was it all right? Because I know some people are just, they want to kind of remain private and not share so much about their lives with others.
See, it's really weird because it's like, I want to, like, I don't necessarily want to be that person. It's like, oh my God, I always have my life together. Everything's perfect. Everything's rosy, because it's really not. Like, I have days where I feel really terrible. But at the same time, it's also like, I feel very protective over myself and like, giving information to the wrong person and someone throws it back at you a time of weakness or something, it's like you're opening yourself to a lot of, again, opinions and criticism. But there are certain things, like if I show anybody else in my vlogs, I definitely get their permission. I try to show things that I think people will benefit from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like how I arrange my day to get everything in, or, you know, what I actually do. Like, because some people are like, well, what do you do? I'm just like, mate, I don't know either. My mom doesn't think I have a real job. My mom's like, oh, Hannah, when are you going to get an office job 9 to 5? And I'm like, mom, I'm literally the happiest person in the world. Like, if you compare me to anyone that has an office job, I'm not made for an office.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, I'm not made to work at all. Again, I want to be a housewife. But
you've done well for yourself, though.
Thank you. I feel like I got myself into a dilemma. It's like, have I excelled in my career because I focused on it? And that's why I haven't, oh, that's why I'm not married with kids right now, because I didn't focus on that. Or have I used my time in a good way whilst that works itself out?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't create the perfect person. I feel like that's serendipity. God's going to send me that person when it's the right time. So all I can do is work on myself.
I think that's why so many people, me included, and especially women, probably hold off from having kids so soon, because I'm sure you wouldn't have been able to do the things which you have done over the past few years if you had had kids.
So I don't necessarily know if I want to do them. I say this all the time, and I think people really find this shocking. If I found my perfect person tomorrow and his one thing was like, just close your Instagram, I'd be like, what Instagram is already closed?
Mm.
Like, genuinely, for me, for my next phase of my life, my most important thing would be to have a happy and healthy family.
But he would have to be in a situation where he can support everyone there.
Correct. So I would like to be able to be in my feminine, and a part of being in my feminine is not having to worry about how to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
But I lost my train of thought again. Why did you do that? We were saying...
Delaying having children.
Yeah, so...
Because for me, I'm at a point now, 33, the next couple of years, I mean, if I really put my foot down, I can, without a doubt, achieve quite a lot.
Mm.
But on the other hand, I don't want to be an old dad.
Yeah.
So there's kind of, it's like, well, when is the perfect time? There is no perfect time.
But I think old, when we were younger, like old was like 40, like 40 was old. And like, I'm 35 now, and I'm like, I don't feel old.
Mm.
In my head, like, I still tell people I'm 28 sometimes. It just slips out my mouth. I'm not lying. I'm not trying to lie. Like, I'm sure my biological age is like 28. I don't know. But...
Just 28 with 7 years experience.
Exactly. I just did 28 seven times. So I'm really good at being 28. But yeah, I just...
Lost your train of thought again.
You need to stop. I'm old, people. I'm old. I can't hold my thoughts. But yeah, so back to what I was saying.
You should do some performance enhancement
on mind my brain.
Pills.
Do you know what it is? I think it's the pill I took. My it's messed with my memory. No, but I was saying, I would literally close down my Instagram to have that. I think for me, like, that's the most important thing moving onwards. But I do think that the 7 years of 28 experience I have, it has helped me see things from the other side. And I think if I didn't do this and go through my hyper independent phase and everything, mm-hmm. I wouldn't appreciate what a man actually does, because I never used to understand before, when my dad used to say to me, like, you know, when you get married, don't nag your husband, you know, when he walks in through the door, don't bombard him with problems.
It's very important.
And I was like, what's he talking about? It's like, he's been married 4 times. Surely if you had the key to marriage, you wouldn't have been married 4 times. But that's not our issue. My issue is now, I've literally been saying for the last year, I was like, I don't want to chase payments. I don't want to review contracts. I don't want to have to interact with people and like try and be smart about my language and not let too much information slip about a certain project or this or that. I don't want to rush around in traffic. I don't want to be pressured to create content. I literally wish... My biggest worries were, what am I going to feed my husband and what am I going to dress my kids?
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate so much now, like, when I go home and I've had a hectic day and I've had back-to-back meetings and I've just been interacting with people in general, like, I go back home and I'm like, oh my God, no one talked to me.
Mm.
I don't want to talk to anyone. Like, I don't have the emotional bandwidth or mental capacity to deal with something else. And I find my personal relationships being affected by that. Like, you know, it will take me a couple of days to get back to my friends. Or like, you know, I don't speak to my family as much, or this. And I'm like, if I'm this mentally exhausted, how can I accommodate for a partner in my life and do them just and do them fairly? Like, I get that we all have problems and problems and responsibilities, but the type of marriage and dynamic that I'm looking for is probably quite a traditional one. And I've done everything that I can by myself. I've used my time in a good way where I'm not just sat there like hand on cheek waiting for Prince Charming. But in the time being as well, I've also gained perspective. And now I know when I'm married and my husband does come back home and he's annoyed, I know it's not going to be like, okay, now's my attention time. You've been out like the whole day. I need attention. It's going to be like, I'll probably get more attention tomorrow if I overwhelm him with love and peace, because that's what he needs when he comes home.
Peace. He just wants the peace.
Peace.
But do you think a part of you would miss the current lifestyle?
Nope.
Interesting.
Done. Because I haven't, like, it's like I've done this to build myself up, to be in a better situation financially, emotionally, mentally, physically.
It's a great feeling knowing that you don't need to rely on anyone and you can actually tell people to F off.
Yes.
When you've got fuck you money, it's good.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, oh, that's nice. Yeah, but that's trash, but I don't want to do it.
Yeah, but I'm not going to do it. It's like not compromising my morals. I remember there was a meal prep company. I won't say their name because they're in the UK. I'm not going to do that. But I found out that he cheats on his wife. I was mid-contract. I was like, sir, I do not want to work with you. And that for me was like a really like good moment. And I was like, and everyone was like, but that's not your business. I was like, but it is. Because I'm generating income for him and he's using that income to cheat on his wife. I will not be a part of this. But like, you know, when you have the option to say yes or no, it's great. But then I'll also say, from a feminine point of view, having everything yourself and not needing to ask can be quite detrimental as well. Because as a feminine, I'm designed to receive. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't receive if you don't ask. So getting into that like too independent or like hyper like self-efficient phase can also be detrimental.
Well, yeah, imagine if you get to the point where you really are very successful and you're making a lot of money, your standards have gone up. Mm-hmm. Like now you only really want to be dating or, well, not dating, you want to be in a partnership or marriage with a guy who is on your level or above. And that pool of men starts to get smaller and smaller.
And that small pool of men don't care if you're successful in your career or not. We circle back around and say, they don't care. Again, they care about what you make them feel like. But I think here is important, like what you value. So if you've gone and made all this money by yourself, does your partner really need to have as much money as you?
Mm.
I tell you what, my partner needs to not be insecure by how much money I make. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So if how much I make or the contrast between what I make and what you make is going to make you feel insecure, and then you're going to take it out on me by knocking down at me or just treating me in a way where it's taking away from me so you can feel better about yourself, that's when it's a problem.
I always wondered what I would be like if I somehow got myself into a relationship with a very famous, beautiful movie star who was making way more money than me. I wonder how I would... I feel like I'd be fine, but I've never been in that scenario, so I don't know what the hell it would be like.
I think your washing liquid and your sponge wouldn't be in the bottom, they'd be in your sink more often. I don't think people will understand that, but guys, like, Mike does not have any washing up liquid.
Yeah, I'm lacking cleaning equipment. That's because the cleaners come with everything.
Bougie.
Time is valuable.
Uh-huh. This is true. Mm. This is true.
What's next for you this year? What's the plan? You've got the enhancement company which you're working on.
I started a company called Figure. Figure comes from the Arabic word.
Let's get the pronunciation right, please, people.
Figure, Thyga, comes from the word thika, which is kind of like confidence in Arabic, confidence/trust.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason that it was Thyga, I took the I out because for me the I represented everything negative, like self-doubt and just insecurities and everything negative. place the I with the why, which is your drive and what motivates you and everything good. So the idea behind this is that we want to build a community of people, like professionals and people that are up and coming, to find other people that have the same interests, who also bond over a certain thing, whether it's, you know, like enhancing your body or enhancing your mentals, or like, you know, playing paddle improves your hand-eye coordination. Hand-eye coordination games are great for your brain health. So again, that's a form of enhancement. You know, you want to go to the gym, you want to improve your VTO, your cardiovascular, you want to get better. You know, when you have kids and you're running around after them, that's performance. So it's not necessarily like, oh my God, I need to live in the gym for 16 hours a day for me to have an amazing body. It's more about day-to-day life and how to incorporate it and finding a community that has similar beliefs and loves. So that is on the cards for this year. I'm hoping like some nice holidays, some travel, you know, finding the love of my life.
So, you know, just the normal things.
Yeah, you know, just like, you know.
What's the top three destinations on the bucket list? You're pretty well traveled, so I'm keen to hear.
Yeah, Tokyo. Tokyo. I want it. Have you been? Yeah,
we're going there in April, I think. That's the plan.
I might be going in September. So Tokyo. I want to do Vietnam. Very interested in Vietnam. And I want to go back to Italy. I've done Italy before, Positano, but I want to go back. But I would say another location. Oh, it would have to be like a Caribbean island. Snow does not appeal to me. I do not understand the concept of paying to be cold.
What about if you're skiing though, or snowboarding?
I can't ski.
Yeah, so if you're not there to ski or snowboard, then it makes, I won't tolerate cold.
And at that point, I won't have an Instagram, so I'm definitely not there for the pictures.
Yeah.
So there's no point in me being there.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at It's Always Hannah. YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram.
All of them, It's Always Hannah.
It's Always Hannah.
And the second name will forever remain a mystery.
It's not a secret. It's just none of your business.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.